Freedom Fiend, broadcasting live from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a toasty and tasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working, Dan and Michael? Can you feel it?
It's not warming my brain, it's worming my brain.
Well, worm is a verb. This is a reminder that Freedom Fiends is covered by the BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
You know, I just thought of something. So we're doing the show tonight without a Comrex. We're using the Fiend Phone GCN server that I set up, that someone there set up for me. I don't know if the guy wants to be on the record or not. It's a top secret operation, but we've replaced the need for a Comrex. We're using our $55 USB mics and laptops and headphones, and that's it. I was thinking maybe, so the next batch of Fiend Phone buttons, we have five designs, and I usually, when you buy them for $10, you get two each of five designs, but I think I'm going to expand it to one each of 10 designs. And I think one of the Fiend Phone ones is just going to be the word Comrex with a line through it. It'll be kind of a really inside joke. But
is Comrex a brand like Kleenex, or is it the name of a piece of equipment exclusively?
Or like Tannoy?
No, it's a company, and it's commonly used as a piece of equipment that they make. But they actually make a bunch of different stuff. Like, you know, I use it to describe the Comrex Access or the Comrex Brick Link, which are the $3,000 and $1,500 boxes that people usually have to get to connect. Stay, you're breathing too heavy in the mic there, brother man. Step off. This is a teaching hospice. But have some mic technique, son, like you're on radio. So it's a box that generally you have to buy when you get syndicated, but you no longer have to buy it because of Fiend Phone. You can replace it with a $200 computer and some cheap mics. But it's not generic like Kleenex. It hasn't gone generic. And there's other companies like Tyline makes boxes. But it's actually called a codec is the name of the box. That's the generic term for that kind of box. But codec can mean other things, so it's confusing. So
yeah, but, my mixer comes up as codec when I put it in my computer. It always comes up as USB codec.
Yeah.
Pointless fact, but you know.
Worms.
So I'm still kicking. Everyone's probably sick of me talking about my illness, but I'll just say this. Quitting vapes is harder than quitting heroin. Because I've been off vapes. Yeah, because I've been off vape. Well, the amount I was vaping. Because I've been off vapes for like 12 days, and I can barely breathe. I'm sick from it. And 12 days off of a heroin habit, you're dancing in the streets, man. I mean, you're still not 100%, and you're probably not sleeping the whole night through, but, you know, you feel pretty good after 12 days.
We're not here.
You might be the first, you know? Like, I don't know anybody else who...
I am.
Who has I'm quit patient vaping zero. Because... Right, so...
It's so new. I mean, I'm sure somebody did it for, like, a week and quit, but I'm the first person I know who did it for, like, 3 or 3.5 years and then quit. Because it's only been around for, like, 4 years, right?
I have
like
no
this
idea.
Kind of, this kind of system, yeah. I think
so. Did you cold turkey it, or did you kind of wean yourself off?
I cold turkeyed it, and I'm using a little tiny bit of nicotine replacement. Like a third of a patch and maybe 3 or 5 pieces of gum a day. But I'm going to go breathe and catch up on oxygen. So you guys talk.
From the sounds of it, the shortage of nicotine isn't the problem.
No, it's all like the goop like, in my lungs.
Yeah, which is bizarre. Nobody really talks about the goop.
Well, they talk about it with smoking. I mean, I've heard comedians talk about, like, I quit smoking and coughed up stuff that looked like escargot.
Well, that's tar. They call it tar. And that's like residue from the smoke, which kind of makes sense. I don't really it's hard to imagine. I don't know.
Well,
I guess you're performing a public service by quitting. So thank you for that.
And I still think you should be able to. I still think school children should be able to buy it with no government regulation. I'm not saying it should be regulated. I'm just, I'm giving some public information here.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, even like soft drinks and things have like health implications, don't they? You know, so like everything has some kind of implication for you, because even if you buy something like a sugar-free sort of soda or whatever, it's still got things like aspartame and that in it. So like that's not great for you, you know. So anything's kind of got that something that can be bad for you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to go off for a sec. I need to check something. You guys go ahead and yak.
Sure.
David, did you see this article? This whole thing about five brainwashing tricks that work no matter how smart you are.
Yeah, I read the headline. I did not read the story. You want to go through it? What's your favorite?
Well, it's kind of interesting to me because, right, okay, so from what I know about what people might call cults, it's usually, you know, people who are of a, you know, a bit of higher intelligence who are looking for something. And but the funny thing is, see, what I got immediately when I saw that, I thought, you know, like, I started thinking about what the word cult is, you know, and stuff. And cult never used to be a bad word, you know. It used to just be a bunch of religious people who were, you know, devoted to, you know, a certain sort of idea.
Yeah, in ancient Greece and Rome, it was just any group of people who worshipped a dying and resurrecting god. There was the cult of... Mm-hmm. Zeus and the cult of whoever, Osiris. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So. And then, but like, you know, I think it's, don't you think it's since like the 60s that cults become like quite a bad word, you know, ever since things like, you know, Jonestown and Charles Manson and all these kind of things.
LRN, it's not on the GCN feed.
Yeah, are we, Michael is live apparently.
All right.
I wonder if Michael knows that he's live.
Should we put this out to Michael?
Yeah, it's a teaching hospital. Yeah, there's LRN is sounds like there's a motorboat on it. I got an email from Jim Jesus, and it's not on the GCN feed. So, yeah, we're live.
All
so
right,
go ahead,
then.
Guys. Go ahead, guys. I'll fix it.
So the thing with the word cult is that it does not have a very good definition. It's a word that is used for its emotional impact and not for its like literal definition. Which, and the ironic thing about that is that that is a feature of cults, to use words for their emotional impact and not for their dictionary definition. It's to use language to obfuscate, right? So rather than arguing about who is and isn't a cult, I prefer to think of everyone as a cult. There's the cult of the mainstream, there's the cult of the subculture, there's the cult of the conservative and the cult of the liberal, and as long as we're all cults, we can equally, and then the word loses its power, and I think that's really the best way to approach it.
That's a good point. Well, because you know what, I was in something called the OTO, or the Ordo Templi Orientis.
Oh yeah, cool.
Yeah, I was in that. I was initiated into a few degrees of that in a local body at one point when I was kind of searching around for things, you know, and I thought that's what I needed. And then I kind of like I found some of the conspiracy stuff online, and that's why I knew a lot of it wasn't so serious, because a lot of the things they were saying about the OTO I knew to be not true, you know. I knew that it wasn't real, because the fact is the people I met there, they weren't, I mean, obviously someone like some conspiracy theorist will go, oh, you were not at the top levels, you don't know, but you don't know the true secrets, you know. But the people that I met there were just sincere people who were trying to find some kind of spiritual home for themselves, and I sort of, you know, and I got that, you know. But like, you get a lot of people that say, oh, the OTR are one of these groups that are running the world. And what was kind of funny was about it was, there's a guy called Lon Milo Duquette, who's like, he's quite big in the OTO. He's a sort of, if you can imagine, an OTO celebritarian, if that concept makes sense to you. Everyone knows who he is. And he said, we struggled to get through an annual meeting. I've no idea how we could possibly run the world, you know. And I actually found that even from just from a small local body, you know, I can't see how these guys could be running the world.
You know, I flirted briefly with the OTO. I never actually took a degree or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But I did. I don't know how true this story is. This is sort of like one of these weird, like, I don't know where I was or who I was talking to or how I got there. And it's a hard story to tell because I may have been being lied to. And so I may be lying by proxy. But I met a person named Jerry who claimed to be the caliph of the OTO, which, as I understand it, is the highest inner sanctum order. He's the big kahuna of the OTO.
It's actually a guy called Hymenius Beta.
Okay. I don't know. But I met him. He lived in Berkeley, and I got to visit his library. And now he had all these
OTO.
First edition.
Whoa. Yeah. Okay, okay, I've solved the problem. LRN's working now. Yeah. That's what? Where did you go, psycho boy? This is bringing back bad memories of intravenous amphetamine use and sex parties with swings in the middle of the room.
That's what Jerry was into. That's precisely what was at the top of Jerry's order of priorities was that. And his hand paintings of his new set of tarot cards, which all involved surreptitious images of anal sex. And so, it is difficult for me to imagine this group running the
world. You're on radio, son. You're on radio.
That was as clinical as I could put it.
Okay, okay. Once a year. Well, so
that was not my experience at all in the OTO. Absolutely not.
You didn't have that kind of sex?
We had no kind
of sex. These were paintings, Michael. I never touched the guy.
Well, are you guys familiar? In San Francisco, that always had like some crossover with what was that cult that was run by some industrial music band? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, are you talking about Psychic TV? Are you talking about Genesis Pete Ottage? He ran the band. He was in the band Psychic TV, and they had what was it called?
The Temple of Psychic Youth. Yeah,
that's what it was. And
it was like a straight up cult.
Mm. Yeah, same thing. He's
a weird girl now. He's had a sex change. I've met him a few times in San Francisco when he was running around with Helios Creed and the guys from who was he hanging out with? The guys from Love and Rockets and Helios Creed. Yeah.
Yeah, his music's good though. I like Psychic TV. I think they're a decent band.
Well, they kind of created like trance music, didn't they?
Well, I suppose you could say that. I mean, I don't really know the history of trance music.
They were also in a really abrasive band called Throbbing Gristle, which the name came from an EMT friend of theirs who ended up at a fire, and there were some people who, I don't know if they were alive or not, but the EMT described them as nothing but throbbing gristle. I guess they were alive. All right.
There you go.
Freedom Fiends, be glad we're on
every tangent.
Well, we're on. The kids are all asleep, so it's okay.
That's fine.
Worms.
Squirms.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone proof.
New Hampshire is under quarantine as walking corpses devour the flesh of the living. Max is 11 years old and surviving alone. Slow-moving and non-thinking, the dead swarm his home. Now he must apply his porcupine Freedom Scouts training to improvise his escape. Look for Survivor Max on Facebook, read reviews on Amazon, or read Chapter 1 at SurvivorMax.com.
They gotta fix that, man.
Time traveling with the Freedom Fiends.
Yeah, but we're pros, so we can deal with it. It's and you know, this means like the stations in LRN like aren't even playing us right now, so nobody's gonna hear it except
us. The OTO, because they hear everything.
So in the next 30, you have 25 seconds to tell all the secrets about the OTO. Before we go back, do it.
There are no secrets.
Talk about Heather and Bill and Billy Bob.
No, there are no secrets. The thing is, it's not what people think it is, man. I mean, like, you can't reveal what happens in your initiations. That's just a pact between people, you know. That's just something you do. Although I met a lot of fascinating people, I've got to tell you. I mean, there's still a guy I know, and he is one of the most interested guys I've ever met. One time he gave us a two-hour lecture with no notes, and it was all really, really deep stuff, man. Really deep philosophy and stuff, and I took notes, and I looked it all up afterwards, and it was incredible, this guy's knowledge. And I'm not a part of this anymore. It's nothing to do with me. It's actually, some people call it a religion. It's actually called Thelema, and it all comes from Aleister Crowley, who was an English writer and novelist and, you know, spiritualist and, you know, all round. Well, he was one of the first sort of people to court the media with controversy, if you know what I mean, in the early you know, the early 1900s. But like I said, I mean, I suppose you could call it a cult, but you have to weigh up what the word cult means, because like we were talking about, you know, in the first
government's a anything. Cult. Cult yeah, doesn't exactly. mean anything. It's just a slander. That's
hey, I gotta say, I have an announcement. If you were listening on LRN and the show sounded like a vacuum cleaner combined with a motorboat, that was not the Fiend phone server. We're going out fine to radio. That was something at LRN, and we got it fixed. Worms.
Yeah, John,
so what is a cult? If you had to define cult, how would you define it?
I think since the 60s, it's just, like, it's changed, you know, because now it's hard to define, but, like, if you said, what do I think a cult is, just personally, it's just a bunch of people who have sort of similar spiritual ideas that get together.
Like the Freedom Fiends?
Do we have similar spiritual ideas, though? I don't think we do. To be fair, I think we have similar sort of...
Does it require spiritual? Is there no such thing as a secular cult?
I think... Yeah, there you go. I mean, people said that guy from Canada is a secular cult.
The guy from Canada?
The philosopher. The internet philosopher. Canada.
Oh, I see. L. Ron Hubbard.
No.
I have no idea who you mean.
Well, that's my point. I'm coming around to the position that everything is a cult, that there's no distinguishing between cult and non-cult, and everybody has their own in-crowd terms and their own in-crowd principles and their own impulse to ostracize.
Austrian ostracism.
Ostriches.
Yeah.
Thanks for bringing the libertarianism of it.
So it's all a cult. We're all a cult. I'm a cult. You're a cult. We're all a cult.
But we're not a destructive cult, which is a different thing.
That's a whole different thing altogether. If your concern is destructive and productive, you know, human behaviors, you don't even have to mention cults. Cult is just a slander.
Yeah, that's a good point. On it. Because no one ever tried to force me to do anything, you know, and I was never kind of pressured.
Not even the government?
I'm talking specifically about the OTO here. The government always pressure me to do things I don't want to do. But when I was in that OTO group, like I said, it was just a bunch of like spiritual seekers, like a bunch of, you know, a bunch of people who were interested in, you know, they were just basically interested in furthering themselves, bettering themselves, you know, and they were all really smart, intelligent people. It wasn't for me, you know. I'm not a joiner of anything anymore. I used to be, like, I joined political parties and then I joined the OTO and things like that, but now I don't join anything, you know. I'm not a joiner. I'm just
a cult.
I'm more individual now. Yeah, I'm more individual now, you know, unless you're calling the Freedom Fiends a cult. Which it might be.
Which I am.
Of course.
I don't know where we started. It was this article. This article had psychological tricks that people fall for? Is that where we
Yeah, started? It's like brainwashing tricks, yeah. It says that work no matter how smart you are is the kind of tagline.
Do you have Let's go through it.
We could go through it, yeah. I mean, number 5 says ideas don't matter, people only care about what works. See if I've got thoughts on that. I mean, like, the sort of system in the OTO is called scientific illuminism. And the whole idea is taken from Buddhism, that your experience will be your guide. So as in, there are certain exercises you do and you experience it. Obviously, this article's talking about something slightly different, but I think that's a kind of good place to start. You know, if you're looking for something.
Well, the thing is, I mean, if we're talking about a trick, and we're not talking about cults, we're just talking about a psychological trick. The trick of people are more concerned with what works is funny, because usually people who reason that way advocate something that doesn't work.
Yeah, you know? because this has got works in like quotation marks. So what?
Oh, it
works.
Does. There you go.
Yeah, aye. So that's what I'm talking about, as opposed to what actually works.
Right, in ethics, this is the categorical versus consequentialist dichotomy, right? The categorical is about principles and the categories of actions, and consequentialist is about what works or what allegedly works. And the funny thing about that is people disagree about what works, so it's not a very good place to reason from.
See, we're busting it already.
Worms.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
LRN.FM needs your help getting our satellite signal back on in Africa. Our satellite provider had us on at no charge from 2012 through February of this year when they pulled the channel off the air. Now we're trying to raise $22,000 to continue reaching people with the message of liberty in places where it's needed most. Please visit our Indiegogo fundraiser at africa.lrn.fm. Give what you can and share the link with your friends. africa.lrn.fm.
Freedom Fiends, don't forget to never vote. Someone just tweeted that. That's pretty funny.
I'm not voting right now.
I'm cleaning my oven.
I'll be not voting the day I'm on the Freedom Fiends live on election day.
Are you going to be... You should do a man on the street interview not voting at the polls on radio.
Do you know what? I was actually thinking about doing that. Katie and I actually talked about that, like going to a polling station with like, we've got like a mini recorder and like taking one of the microphones and just saying to people like, why are you voting and what's the point?
You don't have to vote in Scotland, right? It's not required by law.
No, as far as I know Australia do that, but not in Scotland, no.
Obama has talked about making it mandatory here. He thinks that'll make government better if you make everyone resent voting. Yeah.
It's so laughable. It's so ridiculous. It's like, let's force people into voting for our ludicrous system.
Force people into the choice, the illusion of choice. There you go.
Yeah, and that's important that you say the illusion of choice, because we talk a lot like the libertarians about choice, and that's what we want, to give people choice. And you know, we're not, like when I say I'm not against the National Health Service, I'm just pro-choice. I'm pro everyone.
I'm pro-choice for everything.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, I think that's a better way to state libertarianism personally.
Yeah, I think it's a t-shirt. I didn't make it up. Davi, have you seen it?
Like, no, I haven't.
Do we lose Davi?
Pro-choice for everything? It seems like... Yeah. Can you hear me? Am I here?
Yeah.
I'm here.
You're here.
All right. No, I'm sure I've seen a Facebook meme. Question. I don't think I've seen a t-shirt.
Okay.
I here? Do I exist?
Are we still What's talking about the OT? All right, Grandpa. Yeah. Are we still talking about the OTO here?
We can if you want.
We can.
Did you want to talk about Aleister Crowley on conservative Christian talk radio?
It's actually not that. I mean, Aleister Crowley wasn't the best guy, let's face it. Like, he had
he was
a lot
an Ayn Rand fan. They're all creepy libertarians.
But was he though? I've never really heard that, to be honest. Like,
yeah, he was
around. I know he was around before that. Like, obviously a long time before.
Oh, I'm not thinking. I'm sorry. I'm not thinking of Aleister
Crowley.
You're
thinking of Anton LaVey.
Thinking of Anton LaVey. I am.
I actually know a lot about Anton LaVey as well.
Yeah.
You know, you can ask me about any of this stuff.
I remember Anton in San LaVey, Francisco. Like, San Francisco is the only city I've ever lived in where if you open up the Yellow Pages and look under churches, it's like churches Baptist, churches Catholic, churches Pentecostal, churches Satanic. There's a subheading for Satanic under churches in San Francisco. And there are three entries when I lived there under that. And one of them was Anton LaVey.
Anton LaVey was like the most cartoonish parts of Aleister Crowley put into a cheap Halloween costume. Yes. Around like he was a priest. That's what he was.
He showed up at the Rosemary's Baby premiere. He did. And
he claimed to be in that movie, or like claimed to have been an advisor on it, but
his
I don't think
eyes
he was.
Or something. Was it not as maybe his eyes or something? It was something weird. Like,
well, Jerry Garcia's face is in the original Pod People movie. What's that movie, Davi? He's on a dog.
Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Yeah, is that it?
Really? No. That's Jerry Garcia,
the dog with a human face on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not Plan 9. That's no. What's the original one about the invasion of pod?
Invasion of pod people. The pod
of the body snatchers.
Mars of body snatchers.
Invasion of
there
the body snatchers.
That's the
one. It's Jerry Garcia's face on that dog.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's groovy.
Trippy.
The thing with Aleister Crowley is I never know what's real and what's myth. And I'm not sure he did either. So
you think David Crowley was related to him? The guy we interviewed who the government probably murdered.
But see, maybe? This is kind of what I find interesting, because obviously he adopted the name Aleister Crowley based on his real name, and the kind of thing
Crowley's name wasn't Crowley?
It wasn't, no, it's not really Aleister Crowley, that's just, that was like his occult name, if you want to put it that way. If you look at this as well, you think of like Hunter Thompson, who created the... Edward Alexander Crowley is Aleister Crowley's real name, I should mention that. If you take, like, for example, someone like Hunter Thompson, who created the persona Raoul Duke, but that kind of took over him. And I've also read interviews with people that know Marilyn Manson, and said that, you know, Marilyn Manson, the persona of Marilyn Manson took over what used to be Brian Warner. Yeah, which was,
you
his
know,
name.
Aleister Crowley looks a lot like... He looks a lot like Uncle Fester. I wonder if Uncle Fester is based on Aleister Crowley.
In his later days, he really, really
people
did.
Say I look like
boat head.
People say I look like Aleister Crowley.
Well, you should. Claim
I mean, not
to be
Aleister.
The
reincarnation no,
of
people
Aleister
say I look.
Crowley.
No, people say I look like Uncle Fester. Sorry.
Well, Aleister Crowley actually believed himself. Aleister Crowley believed himself to be a reincarnation of Eliphas Levy, and Eliphas Levy was an occultist and artist, and, you know, we get that Baphomet picture that everyone points to with, you know, one hand going up, one hand going down, and it's, like, got horns and breasts and all that, the classic Baphomet figure. Yeah. It was Eliphas Levy that painted that picture.
Oh, I'm looking at it right now. I'm scared, man.
I've got a t-shirt with that on it.
You're going to hell.
They've got better music there.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
There were a lot of people in San Francisco I knew who were into the occult and into sex magic and into methamphetamine, who were always broke, too. The thing that I always thought was, like, people who worship Satan, who I knew, like, never had riches or fame. They were always, like, homeless drug addicts. So I don't think they were doing it right.
Can I mention that? So I get exactly what you mean, but can I mention that, like, the OTOs get nothing to do with satanic worship? I just wanted to put that in there because some people get that confused. Man.
Well, wasn't Aleister... not Aleister Crowley. Who's the Barnum and Bailey version we were talking about?
Anton LaVey.
Anton LaVey.
Yeah. Anton LaVey didn't really worship Satan. He was basically an atheist or agnostic, right? Who just liked to... I think he just liked to make up rituals and scare square people and have sex with pretty young ladies.
Well, Katie and I talked to Lucian Greaves, who is the co-founder of the temple, the Satanic Temple. We did an interview with him, and he's,
you know, we're losing
modern...
stations right now.
I'm just going to say that guy's a modern LaVeyan Satanist, but like we were talking more about conspiracy. We weren't really talking about God or anything. We had him on the show. We spent most of our time talking about conspiracy theories. Interesting.
What do you got? What do you think, Doug?
You know, Aristotle said that a mark of wisdom was to be able to entertain an idea without accepting it. And I like to think we have more intelligent listeners than that. We should be able to entertain an idea without accepting it. I'm not saying I'm endorsing any of these things. I'm just saying these things exist. And it's an interesting thing the human animal does occasionally. So
it's the mark of an educated mind to be able to entertain a thought without accepting it. I like that.
Yeah.
I love that, yeah.
But didn't Aristotle have sex with little boys?
Probably. It was Greece, man.
It was the style of the day.
It was considered desirable in Greece for older men to, you know, court young boys and to shower them with gifts and, you know, have what we would consider inappropriate relationships.
Children are so annoying, man. Why would you want to have anything to do with them?
That's how you keep them going to class.
Ugh. Yeah, that's the original state school right there. Somehow that's still alive in the state school system in some way, in some vibe.
I think it's an interesting topic, because I love getting into spirituality with people, because some people it makes them really, really uncomfortable.
I would take it so much further than you are, but I am aware that we're on a bunch of radio stations, like, you know, between, like, the replay of Rush Limbaugh and the replay of, I don't know, who are the mean Irish guys on Fox? Hannity and the other one?
The mean Irish guys?
Yeah, Hannity and O'Reilly. Yeah.
Maybe we should go on to the next mental trickery because it kind of fits. Number four is that. It's all about fear.
There you go. Oh, and we're reading the list from Cracked Magazine.
Yeah, which five reasons you get tricked into believing stupid things.
How did Cracked go from being like a really stupid magazine that I outgrew, a humor magazine that I outgrew by age 12, to like this kind of awesome libertarian link bait site?
I don't know. I guess they just embraced the internet and realized that rather than trying to keep a pressed dead tree pulp thing alive, they just said, hey, let's just put it on the internet and see how many people we can get to click on it.
And it changed. Yeah.
See, I kind of miss Weekly World News. I wish they had an active website. They'd be great.
I think they do.
Yeah, I'm gonna look for that.
I'm on it right now.
I don't quite get what this is about. It's mostly about fear. Let me come back.
Aliens are coming. Weekly World News has not changed since the 70s, man. Bat Boy going mutant. Aliens are coming. Katy Perry engaged. Frozen woolly mammoth. World's largest halibut. 6-inch alien.
There you go.
Twinkies, the new superfood.
That's one of the things about fear as well, because some religions do play on fear. I'm not saying they all do, but some of them do. You know, some of them are very kind of, oh, if you don't do this, then this will happen and it will be the end of the world for you, you know. And I kind of understand the whole sort of fear thing, and they do use it. And I noticed they bring up neo-Nazis and this kind of thing as well, and they do use it. I've heard it racially. There's podcasts I used to listen to that went, let's just say they started apologizing for the Nazis way too much and I had to stop listening.
Way too much? Is there an acceptable amount of apologizing for the Nazis to you?
I want to hear the answer to this. Yeah, the second they started apologizing for the Nazis, okay, I lost interest. I listened to their case, rejected it, and stopped listening.
Well, I've heard people talk about the difference between white power and white pride, but the thing that I've noticed is people who profess white pride certainly never seem to instill any in me.
I mean, they're just providing cover one for the other, right? I mean, I'm not sure that that's even a white thing. I think that would go for any race.
Well, here's the thing about fear, and you mentioned the end of the world in religions. Pretty much all religions play on some form of the end of the world, and the same with all non-religion. You know, I mean, Nazis do too. White pride people do. White power people do. All sorts of people that want to rile people up in some way to get control of their wallet or their mind or their body always deal in fear, man. Always, and it always has something to do with either the literal or figurative end of the world, you know?
Sure.
Yeah, is it eschatological or something like that? Eschatology is like the sort of theory of the end of the world, but...
Oh, I thought it was the theory of animal feces identification.
What's interesting as well with a lot of these is, well, if you take some Eastern thought like Buddhism, then it's not so much concerned about that. Like Hinduism and Buddhism are kind of different than
the Abrahamic religions. At the end of the world, yeah.
Yeah, their ideas are more cyclical as opposed to sort of, say, the Christian idea of like it's sort of more linear time. It's sort of more here is the start, the creation, and then all this happens in the middle, and then here is the end.
Does Judaism have an end of the world? I know Christianity and Islam do.
I'm not sure, actually. I'm not so well versed.
Am I correct on that, Davi?
I don't know.
Is there an end of the world in Islam tradition?
Yeah. I mean, it's because you have linear time. So, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you definitely have a messianic tradition where there's an arrival of the Messiah.
All right, here we go. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
The Freedom Fiends and the GCI ESPN feed is really quiet, so I don't know if you can hear that, Dan, but we are back.
I can hear that.
Do you want to keep talking about fear, or do you want to move on? I mean, it's essentially just the point of this section is people are more inclined to define themselves by what they're against rather than what they're in favor of, or what they hate rather than what they love, or what they fear rather than what they desire. And that's probably true. I mean, I read a study once which said that conservative people are mostly motivated by fear, and progressive people are mostly motivated by anger. And that really confused me at first, because it seemed like the reverse to me, until I started thinking about their propaganda. And if you look at the propaganda of the right, it's usually this bad stuff will happen unless we do something to prevent it, and it's this preemptive strike thing. So even though they're the warmongers, they're motivated by fear. And then if you look at the propaganda of the left, it's the, like, stand up, fight back, raise your fists, throw your Molotov cocktails. Like, the left, even though they're the peaceniks, are really motivated by anger and vitriol. So there's something to that. I don't know what happens when a person rejects both. I guess they end up a libertarian. But
that is the thing. I mean, fear is so powerful, isn't it? It's a powerful motivator, and we see it in the British media so much. Anytime, because we have the prospect of, like, you know, other parties, you know, we don't just have two parties in sort of the Westminster Parliament that effectively runs all of the British Isles, the big stuff, you know, like foreign policy and things. And there's about, well, there must be at least 10 parties in there. But the thing is, when something happens like the Scottish independence referendum, or when a party like UKIP get bigger, then all of a sudden all the main media outlets are like, fear, fear, this will happen, the world will end, you know. There was a thing me and Katie did, what they called a docudrama about the United Kingdom Independence Party, which some people think are libertarians, but they're not. They're conservatives. And me and Katie talked about that a little bit, and they made this docudrama, so it was like they made it out as if Britain left the EU, then all hell would break loose, you know, and, like, businesses would start dropping out and everyone would lose their jobs, you know. And it was just, a lot of people bought into it, which was what really scared me, you know.
Yeah. I guess I'm not motivated by fear. Like, I'm trying to think of what am I afraid of in my life, and I can really only think of a singular fear that motivates me, and that is the idea, and this is mystical, but the idea that at the end of my life I'll look back and regret that I didn't do more with what I had, or that this is my vision of hell, to tell you the truth. It's to be shown the life I would have lived if I was more consistent.
That's a good point, man.
But that's the only real fear I can think of. I don't have, like, a fear of the gay agenda, or a fear of immigrants or Sharia law or whatever. Like, I just, it's not.
I'm afraid of the government.
Radar. I am. That's a different thing, though.
There's nothing to fear but government itself.
But how many people do you see that live their lives so scared? I mean, I know people that I work with and stuff, and they're great guys and stuff, but, like, they talk about, like, they're like, you know, ISIS, have you seen them? And people are apologizing for ISIS, and they're going to take over and all this kind of stuff.
Well,
and
the CIA, like, created ISIS.
Well, apparently. I don't know.
Well, then they should apologize.
But I get these people as well. Even the Scottish independence referendum, I mean, we all know that we don't need big standing armies. That's not an imperative. Well, I'm making assumptions, but I don't think we need big standing armies. But, like, I remember when that came up, a bunch of guys said to me, oh, they would cut the armed defences and then we'd be at risk. And you're like, from who? They're still talking about being in the EU and being part of NATO. So, you know, what are you actually scared about?
Doesn't make sense.
Exactly. And fear is an important motivator, I think, and it's used by the media so much.
Worms. We'll have more now, too.
Darn fear.
Yeah.
Oh, good to see you're back, Michael.
I'm always here. I just choose when I talk to make it useful. I'm scrutinizing. We'll be back for hour two of the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the market. And the echo we were getting on LRN was not us. It was LRN. I think somebody spilled a bong on the board over there. But it's fixed now. Worms.
Worms.
That was a weird echo. Do that again.
Worms.
Yeah, somebody said it was horrible. We were like talking about how great we sounded. Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-Education Center's lower but higher canon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza, on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Now, the Freedom Fiends, as well as my own podcast, GreenAirPodcast.com, is covered by the BIPCOT No Government License, and now this allows reuse by anyone except governments, and you can learn more at BIPCOT.org. Now, I am joined by Michael W. Dean, the Chief Anarchy Officer of the Freedom Fiends. Yep, and I'm also joined by Davy Barker from ShinyBadges.com.
You know who's going by CAO now? Not that he stole it, but I'll just say it's spreading. Is Jeff Berwick. He's listing himself as that now.
Oh, really?
I built that.
It's CAO?
Yeah,
I'm the CAO. Chief Officer?
Yep.
I saw that on the Fiend Clone website.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where I got that from, like the CEO thing.
Yep,
that's and we're talking over FiendPhone. You can learn more at FiendPhone.com. I'm good at this.
No Comrex.
We can plug everything.
All right, you guys talk. I'm just going to listen. Go ahead. Worms.
Yeah, what do you want to do?
You didn't give out Davy's website, though.
I did.
Davy Barker.
ShinyBadges.com.
All right.
Or DavyBarker.com. That's fine too.
Have fun.
You were being a bad chief anarchy officer there.
Yeah, you need to tell more people what to do. That's
I'm the central scrutinizer. I was going to go away, but I had to come back and address that. Yeah.
So we were going over this article on crack.com called Five Reasons Why You Get Tricked Into Believing Stupid Things. And we're at the top of the hour now, so we could have a completely different audience. But number one was people believing that ideas don't matter and only caring about what works. And number two was essentially just being motivated by fear rather than, you know, actually thinking. So, yeah, not thinking is one of those things that tricks you into believing stupid things. But number three is... I'm not sure what this means exactly, but the headline is Friends Matter More Than Politics. Which, yeah, I suppose it's... matters sort of. I mean, unless your politics are I want you locked up in a concentration camp, then I'm not sure I can call you a friend. So like, so you know, I'm not totally sure what they mean.
It's explained.
That.
What they mean, the example they use is people's motivation isn't really the politics. A really good example is soldiers. Unless it's soldiers like fighting to protect their own land, you know, which are usually not even paid soldiers, like professional soldiers, like the U.S. Army, English Army, Scottish Army. Does Scotland have its own army or is it the English
Army? No, it's the UK Army. It's the United Kingdom Armed Forces.
Okay, so, you know, any professional modern army, if you talk to a soldier who's been in combat and ask him why he fights, it's not to defeat the enemy, it's to protect his buddy sitting next to him. And a lot of collectivization works that way. A really good example would be like, you know, the government getting it to the point where everybody has a family member who has a government job, so nobody wants to cut government services because you'd be harming their family. That's a really good example of what they're talking about here.
See, that's the thing. Like, I remember when I was a little kid and I first heard that, like, I'm just protecting the guy next to me. I'm like, well, then you're in the wrong war. Like, if you're protecting the guy next to you, and the guy next to you is just there to protect you, you ought to both arm in arm come strolling back home where there's no war going on.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what you mean exactly, and oh, there's this thing, and I think it's, oh, I can't remember what band it is, I think it's Blood Axis or something like that, but they've got like a song, and they've got this bit in the middle, and it's like the guys, it's supposed to be like during one of these kind of world wars, and the guys kind of like, you know, I looked at this guy and we believe, you know, like he killed someone, the kind of thing, and he looked at his stuff and it's like, we believe in the same God and things like that. He has pictures of his wife and kids. I've got pictures of my wife and kids. You know, what are we doing here? You know, and it's more poetic than I'm making it out to be, because I can't really remember.
There's a really good thing in, that explains this to me in Peep Show, that British comedy that we like.
Oh, I love it.
And it's the character Jeremy, who is generally like one of the most ridiculous people on there, but
and you've compared me to him.
Yeah, but he actually says something deep once in a while, and one is the episode where they're having a paintball competition, but it's really serious. It's like war. Like, they're really serious about it and trying to like destroy each other with paintball out in the woods.
Yeah.
And Jeremy and Mark's girlfriend Dobby kind of sneak off to smoke a joint. And they're kind of looking at each other, like, romantically. And they're like, you know, he's like, I think we should just abandon our weapons and just go sneak off and defect. And she's like, can you do that? And he said, yeah, it's the smart choice of people. It's the smart choice. It's the choice of smart people in every war ever, or something like that.
Oh, absolutely. I know the exact one you're talking about.
They make love, not war.
Is this saying that valuing your friends more than your politics is a reason people believe stupid things? Like, well, that they accept stupid things because their friends accept stupid things? Is that the idea?
Yeah.
Is it a kind of conformity thing? Like, you know, yeah, like some people find happiness through conformity? Like,
I think because it is a stupid thing to stay in a war. I think you should defect and go wander.
You know, Reagan said something really funny and rude about anti-war protesters during the Vietnam War. He said, I saw young men with signs that said make love not war, but they didn't look like they could do either.
That's actually quite funny.
Reagan was funny. He was a horrible tyrant, but he said funny things.
Yeah. I mean, he was around at the same time.
This is sort of the essence of the against me argument, right? Like, this is where the whole defooing thing enters the liberty movement, is like, where is the line between the amount that a person can disagree with you about politics when disagreeing with you about politics means endorsing violence against you and maintaining a friendship?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is a really good point, actually, you know. And you can be sucked in. I mean, I was sucked into things like really kind of communistic ideas just because of like an accident of upbringing that happened to be in a family.
Because you were a child.
Yeah, and you know,
children think communism makes sense to children or people with the mind of a child.
I agree with that. No, I agree with that completely. And I still have like I've still got an uncle, and I've said it loads of times, who would still call himself a Trotsky communist.
Read the Gulag Archipelago by Solzhenitsyn if you think communism makes sense, man. He was there.
But see what I found? That's what a lot of the communists I know, they have this kind of, they have this false impression in their mind, because what they think is, they think, well, the problem was that after Lenin died in the Soviet Union, that Stalin
took
over. Oh, they
can fix communism if they just get the right people in there.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the problem. Like, a lot of people say
communism is, it's all run by people.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. They try and say that, like, Trotsky was supposed to succeed Lenin because Lenin called him the ablest man in the party. And there's this kind of, it's a kind of lie that communists tell themselves, that if only Trotsky had just gotten in there instead of Stalin, if Stalin hadn't exiled him and then pickaxed him in Mexico, which eventually what happened, then things would have been great. But that's
so
a lie as well.
So why don't they interpret that as evidence of the frailty of their system?
Exactly.
An accident of one election completely corrupted the whole system.
It wasn't even an election, which was just even worse.
He was voting with his ice pick.
Yeah, basically. But that is this whole thing. But Trotsky would have been worse, because there is a link between the neoconservatives and the Trotskyites in one way, and it's that whole idea of some people like the two of them. It's frail, but it's that idea of like you export revolution, you know. So as in, I want people to think like us, so let's start a war over there.
Well, yeah, all the Soviets did was they exported, you know, the little book, the Marx's book, and AK-47s to anybody around the world who didn't like capitalism. You know, a big problem with communism too is that communist leaders are always really bad communists because they're always living a higher standard of living than the workers. Always.
That's always true.
Yeah.
And that is the interesting thing. Like, actually, it probably would have been worse under Trotsky because Stalin believed in communism in one country, so he wanted to keep it in the Soviet Union, whereas Trotsky wanted to spread it out. He believed in, you know, this idea of sort of permanent revolution. So he would have, you know, from what I've read of him and, you know, my understanding, he would have wanted to spread it out. So actually, this lie that a lot of communists I've heard tell themselves, if only Trotsky had taken over, it would have actually been worse.
The only thing communists do well is make rifles. And I have some communist rifles. I have a Mosin Nagant and I have a Yugoslavian AK-47.
None of the communists I know are any good at making rifles.
They're not good at most of them aren't good at firing them either, or they don't think you should have them. Yeah, communists love, you know, they say that power comes from the barrel of a gun, but they always collect all the guns the day after the revolution. They don't want the workers to have guns. They want them to beat them into plowshares. But yeah, man, the rifles, you know, here's an example of why communism doesn't work. You know the car, the Yugo? Do you know what that car is?
Yeah.
I do, yeah.
It was a ridiculous...
Yugoslavia, right?
A ridiculous, horrible car from Yugoslavia from the 70s. The factory that made that car is the same factory that made the AK-47 I have. The Yugoslavian AK-47 from the 70s, the Zestra, I think it's Zestra, I don't know what it's called, but I got one. I don't know what it's called. I'm not someone who plays a lot of video games and knows a lot about guns. I'm someone who just has some guns. I don't know what they are, but that AK-47 is considered one of the best AK-47s that any country ever made. So the same communist factory made the best rifle and the worst car. You know, think about that.
Yeah, just mull that over for a second.
Yep. They can propel a small thing very fast in one direction, but can't propel a large thing.
No, they can make things. No, they can make
directions.
Things. What it is they can make things really well that are for killing people, that are to be used by the government, and they do that really well. But they're really bad at making something for the people, which is supposed to be the point of communism. It's for the people. But they don't make things for the people very well. They just make weapons to shoot other people really well.
And that's true. I mean, that's completely true. And like I said, I've noticed from a lot of the... I know a lot of people who are dedicated communists, and they do have this... I call it the Trotsky lie, you know. And that is, they still have this idea that, oh, if only Trotsky had taken over. Because for some reason, all the communists I know are Trotskyites.
You know, having the trots, having the trots is a term for having diarrhea.
Yeah, because you have to trot to the loo.
Yes, you have to trot to the loo over and over and over. What is it? What is that thing about the dirtiest loo in Scotland? That's something from Trainspotting, isn't it?
Oh God! Oh, that was awful.
Stop! We'll just leave it at that. People who've seen it know. If you don't know. Yeah. You don't need to know.
You don't need to know. No, it's
awful. We'll be back. Worms. Worms.
Worms.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to The Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And, I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech as hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Welcome back. Things have changed since we went to the break. We've changed the name of the show. We're now called The Federal Fiends. We had a heart-to-heart during the break, and we decided that all this anarchy and libertarianism stuff is bunk, and it's nice in theory, but it'll never work, and we need to support the government. So we're now called The Federal Fiends, and we're covered by a BIP cop license, which allows reuse only by governments. And what do you guys think? I'm happy. You know, I'm really sick of just tilting against these windmills, and I'm just going to embrace the state and love my Obamacare and get on welfare and not work. I ask not what I can do for my country, but what it can do for me, because that's the federal fiend's idea. What do you guys think?
You know what I realize, and I really think we should all take this to heart, and that is that ideas don't matter, and really, I only care about what works. And
the government works, man.
Clearly it does, because it already is. And I would rather go with the system winner that works than risk experimenting with a system that hasn't been tested.
Yeah.
Yes. Because I'm afraid. And we're all
I love the
afraid.
Government, actually. You know, I've come to realize that anarchism is a silly pipe dream. And our federal family, as you and me have called it, is now what we should really focus on.
Our one world federal family, hopefully.
Our one world. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. My wife has surfaced, if you'd like to hear her.
Yeah. Ask her about... are you there, Katie?
Yeah.
Can you hear us?
I've just woken up. And
you sound like you just woke up.
I've just come into this weirdness. Well, what's going on?
Yeah, we're all pledging our allegiance to the state. We woke you up so you could take an oath, a loyalty oath to the world government.
Oh, thanks.
Right. Now, someone just emailed and asked me if this was an April Fool's joke. No, it's not. But the audio issues were before when we sounded like there were motorboats louder than us, and we were saying we sound great. That was an April Fool's joke. But we're serious, man. This is we love the government, don't you, Katie?
If we're going to play this game, yeah, sure.
Speak up, Missy.
No. I'm so
What's the government do for you? What's the government do for you?
What has the government done for me lately?
Yeah.
They take a lot of my money, and I'm sure that they do wonderful, wonderful things with it.
Well, yeah, because we don't know how to spend our money. They know better.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to spend my money on. I mean,
it's really their money. They're just letting you use it for a little while.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's also important to point out that, you know, friends are more important than politics, and all my friends are statists, so that's...
And, you know, every year that we pay our taxes, we get less back. You know, it used to be like $2,000 a year. We just found out this year it's going to be like $200. And I'm glad, because the more they take, the more roads they can build and schools, and the more, you know, they can protect us from ISIS, and it's all good.
The more force and bridges they can afford.
Force. You know, did you hear Free Talk Live today, those horrible anarchists who don't believe in government? They were talking about that same thing. We scooped them, because they were talking about that Bitcoin... The guys who took down Ross Ulbricht, those brave men from the United States government who took down the Silk Road, that illegal, immoral drug online, the Amazon of drugs. And I guess one of them, you know, felt he wasn't making enough money and put a little in his pocket, like government employees should. But they were making fun of the fact that the guy's name was Force. Now, what's funny about that? That's a good name for a government agent. Isn't it?
Force.
Well, you know, yeah. It dispels any confusion when you meet him.
Yeah, it's truth in advertising.
Hello, I'm Agent Force.
How long can we go on with this charade?
Oh, we can't. We can't.
Ha ha, Sherrod, you are.
I'm so confused. I'm so confused.
It's April Fool's. Just, Kitty's just April woke
Fools,
up.
Man. It's yeah. April Fool's. Like, yeah, yeah, it's like this, this is like a Twilight Zone. This is like a Twilight Zone where the anarchist wakes up and her husband is praising the government.
Dan's like pledging allegiance to the federal, which we don't even have.
The one world.
Well, you're missing out.
Yeah.
You ought to see about getting yourself a federal government because it does wonders.
We have a Scotland-wide thing. It's
who's this we? Scotland. You got a mouse in your pocket, Missy?
She's got a mouse in her dressing gown.
You collectivist.
They have now in Scotland. They've collectivized the police station. So now it's like instead of because Scotland, you know, there's 5 million of us. It's a well for us. It's a big place for you guys. Probably
yes, Scott. Yeah, for us, it's a city.
Yeah, exactly. But for us Scots, this is, you know, quite a big place. So they basically collectivized their police department, and now it's like Police Scotland, but it's there are some troubles with it.
Yeah, it used to be regional departments, but now it's like one overarching.
I hear music. Ooh.
Oh, you hear music in your ears, do you?
I hope everybody else hears it.
No, we don't hear it, man.
Nope. Okay.
Do you guys hear it? Because I don't hear it.
Yeah, I hear it. Turn it down. You have to turn it up.
I'm joking.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
For some reason in this country, and in a bunch of lesser world, it's okay to just judge.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created Fiend Phone. I'm using Fiend Phone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about FiendPhone.
FiendPhone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com, but we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to fiendphone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's fiendphone.com. FeenPhone.com. Foxtrot, Echo, November, phone.com.
Fiendphone. I never knew remote audio could be this good.
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends. Green. I'm joining you for a couple of segments. So I'm here with Dan Green, my husband from the Being It podcast, and Davi Barker. And I think Mr. Michael Dean has left us for a little bit. And we're just going to have some fun with it.
Are you here, Michael?
Speak up, Davi. Pretend you're like on the radio, son.
I am always on the radio.
The central scrutinizer is
in. The pretending to be the federal fiends got in his brain like a hot coal in a pot of water, and it evaporated, and so
he has to take a little minute to.
We're waiting for him to condense, and then he'll.
We have to mention that was our attempt at trying to do an April Fool's.
That was a no way reveal. I walked into the room and my husband's sitting there going, yeah, I agree with government. Great. I'm like, oh no.
What's happened?
Gone insane.
She was about to hit me over the head with a hammer.
No, I was just about to have you committed.
Committed?
Yes, really? I would commit you very, very fast.
So, we were just joking, we do not support the state. You guys don't you not?
Obama is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink.
And David Cameron is a ridiculous human being.
Or a robot, or a cabbage, or something.
Or maybe a reptile, you know?
No, I don't want to start that.
I'm waiting for the day when someone turns around to me sincerely and says, David Icke was right, they're all reptiles. I'm waiting for that day because I think it's coming. I'm just joking.
If it does, it does. The chips will fall where they will fall, Dan.
We've still been talking about this cracked.com article, and we kind of got to number two. It's like five brainwashing tricks that you know, get people into believing stupid things.
Oh, yeah.
So we got to number two, and Davy, I'm interested in your take on this because it's
everyone has the same.
Oh, give me a chance, man. Right. Everyone has the same model code. They just use it differently.
Yeah, by everyone they mean the mainstream, and they're shocked mm-hmm. that the like vast majority of people that don't think for themselves agree with one another. Like, I don't buy it. Like, if you look at the list of things, there's a list in here of what people consider moral, and they say left or right, it doesn't matter. They both give essentially the same list, and that list is minimizing harm, ensuring fairness, being loyal, respecting authority, and preserving purity of body and mind. And those all sound very nice, but not everybody values all of those things. But you know, if your sample size is the left and the right, or the liberal and the conservative, or the Republican and the Democrat, yes, it is a duopoly. For the most part, people in both parties have the same moral code, and that moral code is my opinions are perfect and deserve to be enforced by government, and your opinions are wrong and they're immoral and should be outvoted or repealed or whatever. I can't really find anything else valuable about this section. I mean, they make kind of an interesting case. They're talking about witches, and they're saying, like, of course we all think that we're much more moral than the people who burned witches, but imagine if you really believed in witches. Imagine if you really believed that, like, there were these mystical creatures that could sow disease and starvation and whatever, and that putting them in jail wouldn't stop them, and finding them wouldn't stop them. The only way
you
could stop
them is to kill them. The war on drugs is a witch hunt.
The argument they're making is if you really believed in witches, you would think the moral thing to do would be to kill them. And so it isn't a difference in morality between you and the witch burners. It's a different in a difference of fact that you believe something different. And I'm thinking, no, that's just really not true, because I don't think I ever would have been like a moral apologist for slavery. And I don't believe anything different about slaves than the abolitionists at the time. I don't buy it.
Well, see, in the early witchcraft trials, from what I know, it was a lot of people who were doing, like, sort of herbal medicine, and they were treated as witches, you know, like, and that was considered witchcraft. But a lot of it was, like, sort of just...
Herbal medicine?
Was it just an ignorance?
Herbal. Like, yeah, it was
herbal,
just people...
Herbal.
Yeah.
I don't think they pronounce the H in herbal.
Hairball. Hairball.
Hairball medicine.
Hairball medicine.
Hairball medicine.
But a lot of that was...
enemas.
And from my understanding, that was considered witchcraft for a while. Which kind of
seems...
It is
witchcraft.
And some people, actually, funnily enough, some people would still say herbal medicine is witchcraft.
I work with a lot of pharmacy people, obviously, working in a pharmacy, and a lot of them think it's all hooey. But
what do you think? What do you think, Katie?
Personally, I think that some things can have a placebo effect. I think if you believe that something works for you, it will work for you. A lot of people believe that. Although, I will say things like echinacea, St. John's wort, things like that do work. For anybody that doesn't know, echinacea is like a herbal kind of cold medicine, like a preventative, and St. John's wort's like a herbal antidepressant almost. But
a lot of herbal medicine works, but there's a lot of hooey in it too. You think about it, like morphine, you know, and morphine and penicillin are herbal medicine, you know. They come from plants and fungus. And you know, I mean, they actually used like moldy bread on wounds in war before anyone knew what penicillin was. And you know, opium has been alleviating pain for, you know, 4,000 years or something. So
it still does.
Herbal medicine.
Every day, man, dispensing it out. Like,
do you deal with a lot of people who are addicts who come, like, you know?
The majority of our custom is addicts.
Of your customers? Really?
Yeah. The majority of our patients.
Are they in denial about being addicts?
No. In Glasgow, there's a real, almost, you kind of embrace it. It's like, there's a lot of harm prevention. There's a lot of, because we have a national health service and they're really interested in harm prevention, there's actually a lot of services available for people.
You told me about all the free stuff they get, like needles and things.
Well, yeah, we have a full harm prevention program here.
Are you talking about, I'm talking about like people who, you know, like coming like for oxycodone or, yeah, I mean, are you talking
oh,
about,
yeah.
I mean, I'm talking about people who end up like medically addicted to opiates, but are in denial
absolutely.
About it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh yeah, like dihydrocodone's a big one, isn't it?
Dihydrocodone is a huge thing here. The doctors are trying to get a handle on it, but
is there anything fun over the counter there that needs a prescription here? Like, can you get codeine without a prescription there? You can in Australia.
No, I mean,
Russia.
you can get like cocodamol. They mix it with paracetamol, which is like
makes you vomit.
For you guys, I think it's the equivalent is Tylenol. I can't remember the
actual name. Oh yeah, so it kills your liver.
It makes it kills your liver, so you can't overdose with the codeine. So they cut it with.
Oh, you can anyway. People do. They just wreck their liver.
Oh yeah.
The last time Katie and I were in the US, we were in a Walgreens, and she was shocked about the amount of stuff, like the amount of stuff that you can just get on the shelf.
It's all different.
Like what?
Enema
bags.
Well, just a lot of different stuff. I think we might have touched on this before. I can't remember, but no. it was like Lansoprazole or Omeprazole, and
it's prescription only here.
It's like
what is that? Is that for diarrhea?
No, that's like for stomach problems. Like if you have ulcers.
Well, you know, nicotine patches used to be prescription when they first came out.
Really? Oh yeah. Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Nicotine's a powerful. I mean, you don't want to play around.
It's
with
used
that.
For insecticide. Did you know that to kill bugs? That's why most psychoactive alkaloids exist in plants is to keep bugs from eating them. Like bugs will not eat nicotine plants. They will not eat opium poppies. They will not eat coca leaves. They will eat pot though.
Bugs are square.
They'll eat pot, man, for sure. Deer love pot too.
Anything will eat pot.
Bugs are square.
I heard deer's like that as well, but I don't think it makes them high.
Deers?
I don't think it's
the plural is deer. Yeah.
Deer.
Is that? Moose. Mooses? Moose.
Ah.
Moose.
So long story short, I completely disagree. I don't think everyone has the same moral code. I think I think most people have a generic sort of have never thought about morals moral
Not
code
that much,
or have a I read it out of a book moral code or whatever. I just don't agree with this point at all. Unless it's maybe square. Why people come to stupid why people believe stupid things is because they just adopt the moral code of the culture
the
around
guy
them.
Next to them. Yeah. Well, I think it is. I mean, think about how, you know, people make fun of America because America has this we're number one attitude. But America is not the only country that teaches.
We're number one, unless you make an index of people ranked by their success.
Yeah.
We're number 10.
Oh, that's my favorite part of that show. That show, The Newsroom. Have you guys seen that?
Oh, The Newsroom. Yeah, we watched season one.
The opening sequence of that. Like, it's, you know, the pundit, the main guy in it, is doing a Q&A. He's the centrist up on stage between a right winger and a left winger at some university auditorium, and the kids are asking questions, and one of the young ladies asks him why is America number one, and he kind of dodges the no, I'm not letting you get out of this. And he says, you want to know why America's number one? It's not. And he lists like the rank of America and every other country, you know, and he says, America used to be number one, but it's not now. And he gives this ranking like education, healthcare, income, freedom, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And he says something like the only thing America is number one in is obesity and adults who believe that angels are real.
Yeah, because as soon as I saw that,
don't forget to mention self-esteem. We're definitely number one in self-esteem.
No, Ireland is.
Oh. No, when I saw The Newsroom at first, it kind of just reminded me it was like Network. You know, but
the guy who wrote that references Network in everything he does. Like, Aaron Sorkin. Like, the you should check out the show Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip. It's an older show by him.
I've been telling Katie. Yeah.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
We have it downloaded.
And the first episode of it, I mean, this is not really a spoiler alert. The first episode of it is something like Saturday Night Live, and the producer, like, stumbles out on the stage in the first skit and starts yelling about what's wrong with entertainment. And he asks the two actors in the skit to leave the stage. He's like, you know, and people are laughing at first. They think it's part of a skit. He's like, no, I want you guys, I like you two, I want you to leave the stage right now because you don't want anyone thinking you had anything to do with what's about to happen. And he just looks in the camera and just rails at what's wrong with television and how it could be great and it's not for like 8 minutes until they cut him and go to commercial, and he gets fired instantly, and then he's replaced by the two guys who become the heroes of the whole show.
Well, there you go.
Well, yeah. I have it downloaded. It's downloaded and ready to go, Dan.
I mean, who doesn't want to get on media and yell, go yell out your window, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. I mean, that's kind of, I think that's kind of, I think every talk show host
right
ever.
Now. I think you should. Do it right now. Yeah.
Please
okay.
do.
Okay. Thanks for coming on.
All right.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Freedom Fiends. Redemption in the third act.
How's it going? Who wants to start?
It's good.
I'll start us off.
Do it, Dobby.
So we're coming to the end of this article from crack.com called Five Reasons You Get Tricked Into Believing Stupid Things. And the number
one reason...
No
matter how smart
reason,
you are.
No matter how... Well, I don't know. I've outsmarted all four of them so far, but...
Yeah.
the last one is... And this, by last, I mean first, the number one reason why you believe stupid things is because most people fall into their groups by accident.
Mm.
And that goes across the board, you know. The borders you were born inside was an accident of fate. The religion of your parents was an accident of fate. The race you were born into was an accident of fate. The sports team you grew up next to was an accident of fate.
You know what's funny about Wyoming? There's really no sports team. It's like people get confused here and have to put like Denver Broncos bumper stickers on.
Oh, because in the city of Glasgow, we're much smaller, but the sports rivalry is so intense.
Oh, every block has a professional team in Scotland. So here's what I think. I think that this is true, that people fall into their thing by accident. And it's not just bad things, it's also good things. Like, all of us kind of fell into liberty by accident. So I think that the redemption in the third act is there has to be a lot more liberty media out there, so people who are going to fall into something by accident are more likely to fall into something good than something bad. So go to creamyradioaudio.com to learn how to make your own podcast and make it sound great and have caviar sound on a cat food budget like the Freedom Fiends.
I love how you did that there.
You see what I did there? Yeah.
Yeah, I loved it. No, but it's true. You do fall into like these kind of groups, and it is by accident. And I grew up in this, for example, I grew up in this weird sort of sectarian sort of nonsense that I later sort of rejected because I just thought it was ridiculous. But you do get this kind of thing here, and it's like a lot of it's between Catholics and Protestants and whether, you know, Ireland should have full, you know, autonomy or whether it shouldn't, you know, and it's just kind of, it's just silly. But I understand what you mean, like, but people bring this in all the time.
So would I get killed if I compared the troubles in Ireland to ISIS? To like basically, it's an embedded religious war that's been going on that is over two kind of similar sects and land.
Now they don't really. The funny thing is, they don't really care about that so much. They just care about like here. They just care about hating each other.
Well, yeah, because Davi said America's number one in pride, and I said no, Ireland is, and I'm not kidding. I mean, I've been trying to get out of Dublin the day that there was a World Cup soccer match between England and Ireland. You want to talk about insanity in the streets. And I left like 8 hours before the game, and it was already looking like a war zone everywhere. And it took the taxi like 4 hours to go like a half hour through these mobs of drunken idiots. Now, here's the thing, Davi. Have you ever been to a, in America, have you ever been to a St. Patrick's Day celebration?
Yeah.
And seen all the ridiculous nationalism of like Irish Americans?
I don't know if I'd call it nationalism, but sure.
But pride, Irish pride. Those people are posers. Those people are a pale imitation of the real deal. Yeah, go ahead, Dan.
Oh, yeah.
I actually agree with you. I find, like, no offense to anyone, but like I find a lot of people who have no connection with Ireland, and they have all this, like, so it's St. Patrick's Day. I don't celebrate St. Patrick's Day because I don't care. There's a lot of nonsense about him, like he drove the snakes out of Ireland and all this rubbish.
There were never snakes in Ireland.
Exactly.
Although, I actually went to a bar that had one in a glass cage in the bar. Is that legal? Oh.
I don't know.
It was called what he actually did was drove the pagans out of Ireland, isn't that?
Yeah, and they just called really them snakes, happened? Like how, like, you know, we call one-worldy people, they call one-worldy people lizards. It's just code. Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of find it a little ridiculous, to be honest, because
this bar was called the High Stool of St. Catherine. What a weird name for a bar.
the High Stool of St. Catherine.
Yeah.
Well, you always get High Stool in a classic Irish bar.
I don't know what that means.
You get What's High Stool.
You mean a
bar?
Chair stool or like a sample?
Like,
stool?
You know, when you sit at the bar, you get a big stool. You know what I mean? It's a high stool.
I have to go give a big stool. So, really quick, I cut you off, Dan. Finish really quick.
There's not much to say. Just that it's all collectivist and it's all based on misinterpretation.
Tribalism.
Of history. Yeah, tribalism. Yeah, that's a good
one. It's been a great show, and I'm glad we could have our one worldy libertarian hug fest here, guys, across the pond.
I've enjoyed it. It's been a good time.
Thank you, the drunken haggis.
The drunken haggis? Is that what you're
racially oppressing
you? Really?
Yes.
You're racially abusing me, Dean.
Yes. All right, take care, you guys. Dan will be on tomorrow night with Lou Worms.
Worms.